Yeah, just try that at home. You just plug in the wah-wah pedal. Gosh. Clint, stop that. Just stop that. Stop that now. Come on, we got to play more classical guitar and stuff here. And some flute. 800-321-0710. Show's Food Talk. I'm Mike Colomeco, your host. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. My guest, happy to have him on board today. Adam Platt, sir, how are you? I'm very, very well.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Have not seen you since the year began, but we'll have to break bread one of these days very soon. Although I think the next couple of weeks with Restaurant Week, it's a tough time to go. What do you do during Restaurant Week? Do you hang low a little bit?
I hunker down. I don't engage in that frenzy. I'm out doing my regular things.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm spending somebody else's money.
Hey, don't brag about it. We were at One If By Land, Two If By Sea, and they did a, I guess they started Restaurant Week early, and they had, I guess they have a web, you know, a whole list of customers, yeah. And they sent out a little thing here, and that place was packed last night.
Well,
and
how was that? They have this fancy new chef.
Craig Hobson. Did you ever eat, you must have, you had his food at Peach Lane under Terrence Brennan.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good.
No, he's fabulous.
He's been there since September. He's tweaked the menu. We had a quail, a smoked boneless quail that was set over a homemade kimchi made with jicama and something else. I don't know. I don't have my notes in front of me.
So it's slightly but he's a Frenchy fancy, but he's sort of doing odd things and going on flights of fancy.
Flights of fancy. He's playing around. He's an Australian kid. He's young. I'd say he's maybe in his early 30s.
Sure.
I like it. I think the restaurant's going to have new legs. And it was just packed. It was full of I was amazed. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, I don't know. I asked him, is this like a college date club or something? I mean, half these kids I would have carded. The place was just mobbed with kids. It was great to see it.
Man.
Love the restaurant. So where have you been? Talk to me about where you've been lately that has you enthused.
Well, I mean, it's a whole new year now.
I know, and I've got in front of me, we're going to talk about this, your double issue, the Where to Eat 2008.
Where to Eat 2008, which is my annual, you know, sort of rodeo roundup of all the places to go. And what it is, usually, it's really sort of the places that I've been eating the year before, but that will be good in this year. And, you know, they're all sorts of different places, but there are also places that I've been eating that aren't in that issue, which are good too. So you can take your pick.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I'm going to go over the list that you have here. That'll be the one that I know. Talk about the ones that aren't in it that you think are really interesting, just for whatever reason didn't get the ink.
Well, it's mostly because that, you know, in the new year, a lot of different new places open up, and in January you have several very high-profile restaurants opening up. The two most conspicuous ones are Bar Boulud, which is Daniel Boulud's sort of homage to sort of country comfort cooking, and the other one is Alain Ducasse's. I haven't been to the Ducasse. I've been to the Boulud restaurant. I haven't been to Ducasse's restaurant yet, but it's a similar kind of thing, although being Alain Ducasse is probably a lot fancier than Daniel's. And there's another restaurant on the Upper West Side called Dovetail. I don't know if you've been there.
I haven't yet. I've heard about it, and I'm waiting for Ed Brown to open up, too, and that's supposed to happen soon.
Yeah,
81.
I thought Dovetail was quite good, was really good. I've been there once.
Anyway, where is it?
Dovetail's on 77th off of Columbus.
It's a neighborhood. I used to live up there, and it was a culinary black hole.
Well, it still is a culinary black hole, except for possibly Dovetail, although I haven't sort of... I've only been there once. I haven't been back. The chef there is a young chef who's cooked a bunch of different kinds of food, and you know, in different environments. Where he wasn't in charge, he's a young guy named John Fraser. Do you remember Snack Taverna downtown?
Yep.
Anyway, he was a Greek. He did very, very good, very high class Greek food there. Then he went up to the sort of wastelands of the Upper West Side, a restaurant called Compass. You may have been there.
He had about 20 chefs in 6
Compass
months.
Compass was a wacko, strain, whatever.
Yes.
He was going. He sort of went overboard. But at Dovetail, he seems to have sort of edited things down, and it's a small, neighborly restaurant, but the quality of the food, I thought, was really very high.
All right, it's on my list. And it's nice to see. You know, you're mentioning, I've been talking about this a lot with on the air and then with people like yourself who covered this scene and are out and about the town. There was that trend this past year of chefs like Josh Eden at Shorty's, like the guys that put together Dell'Anima, wine guy and the cook who worked for your chef who worked for years at Belnadan, then Bobo Smith, right. Another fellow out of the Boulay school, as is the team that put together Bar Blanc down in the village,
which is quite good.
And these are people that have done their homework, that have spent the better part of a decade working under some of the best chefs in New York City and some of the great kitchens. Now they're ready to do their own thing.
Right. I mean, it's a natural sort of evolution. You have. Also, what you have a combination of things. You have this sort of generation of great superstar chefs, and really in the 90s, although they're still great chefs, the Boulouds and the Daniels and all those characters. And they've sort of trained and bred this whole other younger generation of chefs. But also, if the young guys don't want to sit in a big kitchen. I mean, you know this better than I do. They don't want to sit in a big kitchen anymore. It used to be that you'd work your way up to a kitchen and you'd ultimately take it over, and then you'd, you know, it was a very sort of static old school way of doing things, and a lot of these younger chefs don't have the patience for that anymore, and also the rents are so high that you're not going to get the chance to run a huge restaurant. So you know they're all breaking off and sort of going off on their own in all these smaller spaces. Many of them are bar oriented, but the quality is really quite high.
Yeah. And I think part of that, and I've been talking about this, is what you said is very true. It's driven by rent. It's driven by youth. Right. And I think there's a real young demo out eating around town now that didn't exist a generation ago.
Right, and that's also a style. I mean, these young characters that you talk about, I mean, you know, we're young, right?
But, thanks.
But, you know, the whole idea of putting on your coat and tie and sitting there and having a tuxedoed old French guy tell you what to do, they don't want to do that anymore.
Nope.
You know, they want a casual environment. Yep. They want good food, but served in a sort of a casual way in casual surroundings. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's moved downtown, and it's really gotten it's
downtown,
boisterous, it's
all
fun,
over the place.
But it's neat because you have these permutations in the scene. I was at Allen and Delancey back in December, and I have to tell you, I was plots. The food was great.
Yeah, it's quite
food
good.
Was great. It was romantic. It was a wonderful room. The service was good. I mean.
In a very unlikely
and that was a restaurant
location.
That didn't look like it was even gonna get out of the starting gate.
Right.
You mentioned in your best new restaurant list, which pretty much echoes, I think, most of ours. Those of us that are covering this in Siena,
we all do this same stuff.
Yeah, but it's true in Siena Anthos. Soto, Park Avenue Winter, where I think that Craig Koketsu is doing a bang-up job, one of the great restaurants in the neighborhood.
Slightly strange, but, you know, interesting.
Never
boring.
No. We'll see how BLT Market continues. I always have questions about Lauren Turndell's projects. Once he moves on to three projects later, what happens?
That's all true.
You know, there's that issue there. Hill Country, where sadly, you know, Robbie Richter's not there anymore.
Well, I heard that from our source in the barbecue world.
Our source in the meat world, Mr. Everything Meat, Mr. Cutlets.
Yeah, I was sad to hear that, but yeah, I haven't been back since you left. But I hope it's still good.
Yeah, I think it is. I think what he did is I think the sad thing is he got them up and going. He showed them how to do it. You know, it's not rocket science. This isn't the kitchens of Per Se. Maybe Mr. Ozersky will notice the tiny minutiae, you know, the difference in the brisket from one night to the next.
But
is the rest of the public won't.
I have no doubt that he will. And I have no doubt that he'll tell you about it at length.
He already has, but I think what Robbie did was get them in orbit, and like they're going to stay there because it's such a fun place. 15 East, great little restaurant.
Yep.
Allen and Delancey and Market Table, where they're just killing them. You know, it's funny. Market Table is so busy for lunch, in between lunch and dinner, and dinner, and two doors down, Bar Fry just can't get it going.
I actually like Bar Fry. I reviewed it. I liked it quite a lot, although it's a kind. Yeah, those two restaurants, they're both in the West Village, they're both on Carmine Street, they're both in the same place, essentially, but it's an example of how you conceive of a restaurant and, you know, what happens, and a Market Table is just very smartly conceived, and it's also the only one of those essentially silly market restaurants, you know, the idea of having these silly products in the front where you're going to buy them. Who's going to buy them? At Market Table, though, the menu is pitched in such a way that you will actually buy these things, and also the you know, because they sell steaks and they sell little burger patties, and they sell various garnishes, And especially in that neighborhood, which is largely, single, hip people who will cook their own meals, it's just a winning formula, whereas Bar Fry, I don't know if your listeners know, but it's a tempura restaurant. And I thought the tempura was really quite good, and the sandwiches were quite good, and the chef who runs it is hyper-talented.
Yeah, Josh Echelis is
great. He's one of the most talented young chefs in the city, but... it's just, who can eat so much fried food? And it's not always going to be, one day it'll be good, one day it'll be bad. It's very hard to get the quality right on that.
I think so. And it's in the name, Bar Fry. I mean, another story.
Whatever.
Stay where you are, folks. My guest is Adam Platt. He writes for New York Magazine as their food critic. We're talking about what he does, what I do. Kind of the same sort of thing, covering this great town's scene, which is febrile, keeps moving. We're going to talk about some restaurants coming up, like Barboulud, like Danielle, like Ducasse's restaurant to open, and a few others. I was on the phone yesterday with Michael Salakis. He actually called me during dinner, returned my call, and he's opening up with Donatella Arpea, Mia Donna, that's going to be open in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to that. So stay where you are. It's Friday, and Flint's being a wise guy. Mike did ask for a classical guitar after Clapton was just spanking down that Stratocaster, taking us to school. We're getting kind of a Spanish flamenco thing going on here. All right, for all you classical guitar fans, there we have it. That's our weekly weekly dose. All right, my guest is Adam Platt. 800-321-0710 is our phone number. Adam Platt is the food reviewer for New York Magazine. Adam, I have a question. I really like what they're doing at Gilt these days. New chef's been there for a while, almost over a year now in the post-Paul Lebrun era. But what the heck? You've got this picture on page 3. What is that thing by the bar that, like...
Well, that's the bar outside of... I mean, Gilt is in the Vuillard Mansions.
Yes.
Right next to the...
Palace Hotel.
Hotel.
One of the most beautiful interiors in the
city.
And
that thing that you see, it's an odd purple thing. And the restaurant that inhabited that space before Gilt came along was Le Cirque 2000.
Yes.
And that, I believe, is an artifact left over from the previous regime.
It is?
I believe that's correct. And Le Cirque 2000 was a... this fanciful, wacko. And I believe that's what that is, because there's nothing, and it's also part of the bar, and the restaurant itself is much more subdued, again, the guys we were talking about, tuxedoed waiters. So
yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not...
I don't know either. It's just I remember walking in and seeing it and scratching my head, because I'm not sure if it's supposed to resemble like you're inside of an odd diamond or what it is.
Right.
And then even the room at Gilt, the floor is like made out of some kind of weird, like,
it's
Tupperware
plastic.
Rubber or something.
Yeah, it's like plastic. It's like you're dining in a little rubber barge.
Yeah.
But all the restaurateurs, that's a very ornate, I mean, you've been there, it's a very ornate sort of, fin de siècle, old style space. And they just labor to make it seem modern, and that's the result.
They spent a lot of money,
right.
Basically
right.
Mucking it up. It was a beautiful room. Leave
right.
it alone. All right, my guest again, Adam Platt. Let's take a phone call. Someone who's coming into the city? I think Michael calling us from Jersey. Michael, hi. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Big fan.
Thanks.
Me and a couple friends from work are going to be taking a class next week in the city on Wednesday with a very famous radio talk show personality and TV host.
and we're wondering
if you could recommend a restaurant that would be in the area.
Of the Viking showroom?
Area of what?
is it the 90...
It's down to the Viking showroom. So it's 3rd Avenue just north of 57th Street. So right around the corner. Adam, you're going to opine on this too. So we're looking for a walking distance it's almost that sort of arts and architecture area where they have those big, right around the corner from the Bloomberg building. Philidia is around the corner, literally steps from.
Le Cirque. Go to Le Cirque.
Well, hold on for a second. Stop. Hold that thought. Philidia's great. Philidia's around the corner.
Philidia's fine.
Le Cirque has a thing. When you walk in the front door, unless you're dressed to the nines, unless you're one of these, you know, tottering, pinstriped, Rolex-wearing, you know, slick backs, don't even look to the left. Don't glance. Syria will cuff you on the back of the head. Make a right-hand turn and go into what is their new wine bar. That's kind of interesting.
It's quite good, yeah.
It's actually quite good. Yeah. And it's sort of
They have a new chef, too.
Yes.
Who was actually quite good.
He's really good. I met him the other night. So, I mean, that's a thought. So you walk into the front door of Le Cirque and don't be put off by it. Just make a quick right turn, and then they'll go, oh, okay, he's not going into the...
Well, if you're with a fat cat, you know, they'll let you in.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe that radio personality might even be there.
I don't know.
Hopefully he'll pay for it.
Yeah, hopefully somebody else will. No, go try the wine. They have an Enoteca now at Le Cirque that's really interesting. It's a small menu, wines by the glass. It really looks very interesting. That's a thought. A few blocks away, and this isn't exactly the neighborhood, but it's not a long walk. I love what Michael Salakis is doing at Anthos. Donatella Arpe, and he run that restaurant. That's 50. Is it 53rd, Adam?
Yeah, that's a long way.
Oh, I know. It's
off
of 5th.
All the way across town.
Oh, it's not a... Would you... Come on.
I like him, too.
So what would you recommend? I'm going to keep quiet. I've got Adam Platt on the...
I recommend Le Cirque. If you want to... again, my knowledge of these things is somewhat spotty, but if you want a sort of an event destination in that area, I probably would recommend Le Cirque.
It's pretty amazing. Le Cirque's amazing. And if you don't want to spend the big bucks, then just try the Le Cirque Wine Bar, because that's sort of like give you a sense of what they're doing. Same kitchen, different food, scaled down, but you're not going to get whacked for the couple hundred dollars a person. Hope that helps. let's take Joe calling us from Manhattan with another question. Joe, hi, how are you?
How are you? A couple of weeks ago, you did a show about Kraft Steak, which is on 10th Avenue and 15th Street.
Yeah.
And my question is, I'm going to preface it by saying that I saw that they were cooking the steak in butter. Now, that's not the only restaurant that does that, and I just find that to be a bit unhealthy. I'm a big steak eater, and I love steak, and I usually do it in a rotisserie, and it gets a little charred and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering, is there another oil besides, I know you love extra virgin olive oil, you know?
Well, here's the answer, in a nutshell. What they're doing is a style of cooking it's kind of a modern affectation. It's new in the culinary world. And that is, you have a protein in a pan, you add whole butter to that pan, you then tilt the pan, and you add a lot of whole butter. I'm talking about a couple of tablespoons. In that butter, you'll have maybe some thyme, some rosemary, a crushed clove of garlic, and you don't just let that pan go, you're constantly foaming that butter. With a tablespoon, you're basting the protein. It could be fish, could be a steak in this case. And a couple of things are happening. One is that hot butter is cooking the steak on the top side because the butter is hot. Secondly, you're getting a little bit of that butter and herb flavor every time you do the basting. It's a very modern way of cooking. I don't think that great prime dry-aged meat or great meat like the Brandt beef that they have or, you know, some of the great grass-fed cattle, I don't think it needs that per se. I think what you're doing is fine. At home, I use a cast iron pan, lots of salt and pepper, and I just get really nice color. You know, the Maillard effect on both sides. That's all great steak really needs in my book. If you want to finish it out of the pan with a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil, you sure can. But I don't think great steak needs much more. Hope that helps. Adam Platt, restaurant you're looking forward to. You haven't been to Adour yet, neither have I, the new place that Ducasse is going to open. What are you hearing about Michael Salakis' new restaurant, Dona Mia, anything?
Well,
or Mia Dona?
Just what our friend Mr. Ozerski tells me about incessantly. You know, I haven't heard very much about it. I mean, if it's anything like Dona, which was their first collaboration, it'll be a great restaurant. He's a very talented chef, and it should be great. I mean, I don't know. Is it more Italian than Greek, or is it more of a Mediterranean?
I think that's the idea. I think it's going to be a little more, you know, Anthos is his restaurant more than Dona was. I think this
He's
is stepping
Italian
back and being more of an Italian Mediterranean theme. I'm going to get there, not next week, but the week after. I'm sure Mr. Ozerski will school us. Adam, thanks so much. Let's get you on as a semi-regular.
Would you
mind doing that?
No problem.
Every 5 or 6 weeks, I'd love to have you on. Folks, guest has been Adam Platt, the fine food reviewer for New York Magazine. Stay tuned for Bill O'Reilly coming up next, my PBS show on Sunday, where I'm going to be visiting Anthos at 6 o'clock Sunday night. And of course, my show this weekend, I'll have Michael Pollan on. Be well.